I'm Priyat Lienage, and you're listening to the Ghostly Voices of World War I on the BBC World Service. At precisely 6 o'clock on the 31st of May in 1916, a soldier stepped forward and began to speak into one of the earliest recording devices.
There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Give me that part of your goods that belongs to me."
The soldier was a sergeant in the British Army whose name was Gangaram Gurung. He was an Indian who had been captured on the Western Front and was being held at a prisoner of war camp in Germany.
When he had spent everything, a great famine came over the country and he began to be in want.
His telling of the biblical story of the prodigal son forms part of a unique archive of voices from around the world, collected by German academics during the war. These are men from the furthest reaches of the British Empire, who came from dusty farms and remote villages to fight for the crown. Their lives are cloaked in obscurity. There are few records of how they lived, how they fought and died. What lives on are their voices. We are on a quest, taking us across the world to the villages where these men lived before they joined the war. It's the ultimate mystery story. Can we find their families? Will they remember the men who made these recordings? Did he talk about the war?
No.
He is aware that his father sang devotional songs, and that is something he's sure of.
I'm showing you now the photograph.
Yes.
Is this him?
Yes, he's the same.
Britain recruited thousands of soldiers from the far corners of its empire. But since these recordings of enemy soldiers were made in prisoner of war camps by German academics, we are starting in Berlin, where the archive is held. Britta Lang has made a study of the collection.
I'm Britta.
I'm Priyat.
You are Priyat?
Mark Savage, hi, producer.
Hey.
Britta was working on the history of the First World War when she found out about the archive, and has been captivated ever since.
You feel that the material is very old, and you know that a prisoner of war is talking, and you have the impression that he's talking to you, and he is dead today, and we don't know when he died, and if perhaps the sound recording is his last document.
So why did they do this? What were the German officials up to?
The idea was to create a kind of ethnic or ethnicized archive, and it was not only meant for purposes of documentation, so to know how the foreign languages were pronounced, but it was also meant to have the sense of training colonial officers for the future, because still Germany was dreaming of winning the war and having a bigger and bigger colonial empire. So they thought they would have a lot of colonial officers, and the speech samples should also serve to make language trainings.
The recordings have only recently been made the subject of rigorous study. They were taken to Moscow by the Russians and eventually made their way back to Berlin. Today, they are split between the Ethnological Museum on the outskirts of Berlin and this unassuming room at Humboldt University in the center. So these are the files. It's remarkable, it's still here, filed in a very old-fashioned way. Heike Lebu is senior researcher at the Center for Modern Oriental Studies in Berlin.
We have pictures where, for instance, a group of Gurkhas is standing together, and then if you look at documentations of the recordings, you find not only the exact date, but also the exact time. So you would find 6th of December 1916, 5 5:30, and the next recording 5:37, and then the next recording 5:48. So you can imagine that this group of people stood together in the room and they listened to each other, and mostly it was a group of people who spoke the same language, and then they did the recordings in Gurung on one day, in Arab language on the other day. So that was how it worked.
And it wasn't just the spoken language. There are around 3,000 individual recordings, including stories, poems and songs. Notes on some of the recordings are missing, so academics are still trying to identify the prisoner's language or country of origin, as in this case. Others are easily recognizable, like this rendition by British prisoners of the music hall favorite, A Long Way to Tipperary.
It's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know.
Britta Lang.
They had to be freed from labor or freed from a service or whatever, so they also got sometimes a little bit paid, or they got presents for helping them. And the speakers also had to be able to do the performance, meaning not to have a too high voice, because then it did not well with the gramophone, and they also did not have to be too nervous or to speak too quickly. And as the material was expensive and the procedure was very complex, you needed the very big gramophone, you needed a special technician preparing that, it is very probable that the academics made the speakers rehearse the texts to get them familiar with the situation, because usually the scientists spend some days in the camp, and then in the end there was one or two days where the technician came with the big gramophone apparatus, and then they did a recording every 5 minutes.
We are heading across Berlin to the Ethnological Museum, one of the largest in the world. Sound recording had only just been made possible, and it was expensive. The more costly shellac or resin discs were reserved for speech and intended for language study, while the cheaper wax cylinders were used to record music and song for scientific study. The latter form part of the Ethnological Museum's collection, where Adileja Murchendrauskowska has a party piece, giving curious visitors a demonstration.
This is a phonograph. This is the invention of Thomas Alva Edison from 1877. And you can record with a phonograph, and you can also play back cylinders.
So you lift that little arm and insert the cylinder. The scientists made several thousand recordings at 200 prisoner of war camps all over Germany, featuring soldiers from Britain and its wider empire. But we are concentrating on the recordings made by South Asian prisoners. They were segregated and sent to special camps in the neighboring towns of Sossen and Wunstorf, south of Berlin. Marika Jacobs is a fellow researcher.
There were around 30 recordings from Indian or Nepali prisoners. And there's different topics, like being in Germany, about longing for the home, about tea, about love, about being in a prisoner camp, children, women, about having to go away, and religious topics. For example, we have, what is written down is Hindustani love song. And this is sung by Baba Singh,
a Sikh soldier.
And then we have a religious song. This is a Sikh, and the singer is Sundar Singh. Yeah.
Hey, Sundar, hey, Gopal, hey, Jaya.
More of Sundar Singh later. Weinberg camp at Sossen and the Half Moon camp at Wunstorf had a special purpose. Prisoners were subjected to political and nationalist propaganda with the hope they would change sides and fight against their imperial masters or cause trouble in the colonies at home. Few, if any, did. We are on the train from Berlin to Wunstorf. Berliners 100 years ago used to do the same trip. The camps themselves provided Berliners with a taste of the exotic. There are local newspaper reports of people taking the train at weekends to stare at prisoners through the fence, in the way that people might visit the zoo. There is no sign of the camps at Wunstorf today, but there is a cemetery recording some of the names of prisoners who died there. We are entering the Commonwealth War Cemetery. It says, here lie soldiers of the British Empire who died in Germany during the 1914-1918 World War. The earth dedicated to their graves shall constitute a resting place for all eternity. But what about the inmates who survived? There's lots written about kings and queens, politicians and generals, much less about the ordinary soldiers like these, who came from beyond Britain's shores, men like the man we heard earlier, Sergeant Gangaram Gurung.
And I have always done what you told me to do, but you never...
The academic Heike Lebu can't help wondering.
His sound recording is the only recording by an Indian soldier which is in English. We have his voice, we have his photo, we have, I think, a few drawings done by him, and so we can imagine what kind of personality he was.
Did you ever find out what happened to him?
No.
He was lost and he found.
He was lost, but perhaps Gangaram Gurung, like the prodigal son, can also be found. It means a journey of more than 3,000 miles to the town of Dharamshala in the spectacular Kangra district in northern India.
Good morning. Hello.
Thanks to the records kept by the Germans, we know quite a lot about Gangaram Gurung.
This is our schedule for the day.
He was one of five Indian soldiers fighting for the British Army who surrendered in November 1914 after coming under attack in northern France. They had only been at the front 8 days. But crucially for us, we know that Gangaram came from a village near Dharamshala called Chilgahi.
This is the village of Chilgahi, also called by the Gorkhas. It's called Sallagadi. And it's because of these trees here. It was a forest, it was a complete forest.
Vandana, our translator, has been doing some research. Gangaram was a Gurkha, an ethnic group known for their fierce military prowess. They originate in Nepal but were encouraged to live in this area by the British. We are meeting four members of the local Gurkha association at the house of a village elder.
It was a very small, tiny place, and the life was very ordinary here at the time. There was hardly, I think, there was no schools, and population maybe 3,000 or 4,000 people, you know, in whole Kangra Valley, you know, where now we have 35,000 people, you know. And the surrounding area was given to families enrolled in British Army to reside.
We came here to ask you about this soldier called Gangaram Gurung.
Gangaram Gurung, yes. Gangaram was a prisoner.
He was
in the First World War.
Yeah, he was a prisoner.
Germans
captured him.
Captured him.
This is a picture taken while he was in prison. Do you remember him at all?
I don't know.
Anybody of that name?
No, no.
This is a recording we have. Mm-hmm. The German officers recorded this in 1916. This is the voice of Gangaram Gurung.
There was the men who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me that part of your goods that belongs to me.
रिकॉर्डिंग में तो आवाज से तो ऐसे लगे जैसे जैसे प्रोनाउंसिएशन है ना, जो प्रोनाउंस कर रहे हो वैसे तो बिल्कुल लगते है वही बोल रहे हैं, पर इतनी अच्छी इंग्लिश वो बोल रहे हैं वो डाउट लग रहा है.
He says that the pronunciation in the recording is so good, he doubts its originality because it's really well spoken. The English is so pure, and 100 years ago, someone from Chilgari could speak like that. That creates a sense of doubt.
Actually, we don't know whether he was educated or not, who speak in English. It's a very, very, very pure thing to speak.
It's not quite the reaction we expected.
Yeah,
okay, but this gentleman over here,
I don't have a doubt.
Has no doubts.
Because the vocabulary is very small what he spoke. You know, and since he has lived in their company for such a long time, prisoner of war, and he served in British for a long time, learning language is not difficult.
No trace of Gangaram, but a useful introduction. The three of us, myself, Mark Savage, the producer, and Vandana, our translator, pose for pictures and then say goodbye.
I was not surprised that this whole group came, because they are like that. They don't do things alone. They always have their friends or partners or whoever.
It was interesting that
who come along.
Someone raised a doubt about the authenticity.
Yeah, but it was also nice to see that they differed and they had different opinions, but everyone's opinion was heard.
I have absolutely no doubt that this recording is original. I have absolutely no doubt.
I have no doubt, but it is modesty in a way, thinking that we are ordinary people, you know, we are not capable of speaking perfect English. I think it's a kind of innocence and modesty.
I mean, it's not perfect English. I speak as someone who's, you know, is my first language. I wonder if perhaps he chose to do The Prodigal Son in English because he was proud of his language.
Of course.
He was proud of being able to speak English well.
Yeah, my personal opinion is that out of all the English Gangaram knew, The Prodigal Son story, he tells was perhaps his best that he could do in English for someone.
Gangaram Gurung isn't the only Gurkha we are trying to trace. There's another recording by a soldier called Lachman Thapa. All we know about him is that he was 31 at the time and came from a place called Barakoti. A local official tells us that it's the name for a place near Dharamshala called Kajlot. Vandana has made inquiries and it seems there was only one person registered in the village by the name of Lachman. We are meeting his 89-year-old son, another Gurkha by the name of Baba Singh Bora. But there is a snag. We are looking for the relatives of Lachman Thapa, and Baba Singh Bora's last name clearly isn't the same. But we've been told that it wasn't unusual for people from a lower caste to upgrade and give the army a different, some would say, better surname.
He says he does not remember everything about his father because he was around 1.5-2 years old back then.
Baba Singh Bora never really got to know his father because he died when he was small.
He was not told anything by his family about his father.
Do you know anything about him being captured by the Germans during the First World War?
Youth mein gaye the ye to mujhe maloom hai, suna tha itna. Aisa Baghdad, aisa wo kya kya batate the aise naam utka.
He says he remembers that his father went for the war. He also remembers hearing that his father was in Baghdad and Basra. However, he was nearly 2 or 3 years old when his father passed away, so he does not remember much.
Not much of a memory of his father, perhaps. But then we play him the voice of Lachman Thapa. And it's as if the recording is helping him to fill in the gaps, providing him with the past.
He cannot hear the whole voice clearly, but he understands that the song has been sung like a Gorkhali folk song.
Do you recognize the voice at all?
पिताजी का आवाज हाल लगता है ऐसा तो है पुत्र अभी मेरे को तो मैंने भी सुना नहीं तो मैं आपको बताया था ना मैं छोटा था मेरे को कुछ क्या
He thinks it is his father's voice, but it is hard for him to tell because he was really small when his father passed away.
We are brought tea and home-baked delicacies while Baba Singh Bora listens back on our headphones for a second time. I think he can hear it more clearly now. He's beginning to hum. Your father, was he a musician?
His father sang devotional songs, and that is something he's sure of.
He's visibly moved. The rest of us struggle to control our emotions.
He's very happy. It cannot be described in words. He feels that we're God sent. With this recording. That was so moving.
I was lost for words.
I know, and I saw the look on Priyat's face because you were prompting him to ask the next question and Priyat was just spellbound, you know.
I didn't know what to say.
And it really is true that sometimes these moments cannot be defined in words.
What worried me was I want to be really sure that we have got the right one.
No, they are.
After the news, our next visit confirms the identity of one of the prisoners we are trying to trace, but throws doubt on another.
The BBC World Service.
We have the headlines.
Democracy protests have spread to new parts of Hong Kong.
But we go further.
I am on a pedestrian walkway looking down into the sea of people that have taken to the streets here. People as far as the eye can see, thousands of them.
Telling it how it is.
I'm right on the border between Turkey and Syria, and within the last few minutes, two very large explosions occurred just a few hundred meters from where we were standing.
Giving people a voice.
I tried to stay positive, although I was scared when I saw my relatives dying in front of me.
Looking to the future.
The Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf has appealed to all countries to help fight the Ebola virus.
It is the duty of all of us to send a message that we will not leave millions of West Africans to fend for themselves.
The BBC World Service, the world's radio station.
Our search for the men behind the ghostly voices from World War I continues after the news. Discover more about the soldiers from South Asia who contributed to a collection of voices from around the world. Put together by German academics, it now serves as a memorial to some of the ordinary soldiers taken prisoner during the conflict. That's the ghostly voices of World War I with me, Priyat Lienage, in a couple of minutes.
BBC News with Jerry Smith. President Obama has said that the deployment of a further 1,500 US troops to Iraq marks a new phase in the battle against the Islamic State group. Mr. Obama said that after the completion of the first phase, which was the setting up of an inclusive and credible Iraqi government, the coalition against IS was in a position to start going on the offensive. Thousands of illuminated balloons positioned along the 15-kilometre line of the Berlin Wall have been released into the night sky of the German capital to symbolise the collapse of the wall 25 years ago. It follows a day of celebrations during which the German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that the fall of the wall sent a message of hope to countries where human rights were still threatened. The European Union has expressed concern at reports of a build-up of fighters and heavy weapons around the city of Donetsk in eastern Ukraine, where heavy fighting has been taking place between pro-Russia rebels and Ukrainian soldiers. European monitors and journalists say they've seen unmarked convoys of tanks and fighters close to Donetsk. Polls have closed in Catalonia in northeastern Spain in an informal referendum to gauge support for independence. The regional government said that nearly 2 million people had voted. The Spanish Prime Minister said the vote would have no effect. Russia and China have reaffirmed their close ties with a new gas deal, as President Xi Jinping prepares to host Asia-Pacific leaders at a summit in Beijing. They signed an agreement under which Russian natural gas will be delivered to China via a new pipeline from Western Siberia. Clashes have been continuing in a village in northern Israel where an Israeli Arab man was shot dead by police. Residents in Kfar Kana threw stones and firebombs at police in protest. Police say they shot the man in self-defence, but video footage of the incident appears to contradict this. BBC News.
You're listening to the Ghostly Voices of World War One on the BBC World Service with me, Priyat Lienage.
And he said to his father, "These many years have I served you, and I have always done what you told me to do, but you never gave me heaven."
We are attempting to trace the descendants of soldiers from South Asia who were captured by the Germans during the Great War. Amazingly, some of their voices were recorded by academics while the men were imprisoned near Berlin and form part of a unique archive. We are in Dharamshala in northern India to meet Shiv Shankar Sharma, a lawyer whose father fought in the First World War. Did Mr. Sharma himself know the man behind this voice, a fellow Gurkha by the name of Gangaram Gurung?
He was lost and he is found.
He says when he was a child, he saw Gangaram personally. Gangaram was a very jovial man. He was also from the same village as his father in Nepal. When Gangaram would visit him at his house when he was young, he would often sing. And this is a song he would sing.
Laure daiko re limai phese ni ramro.
The lyrics of the song talk about people asking other families where that son had gone. This is in Nepal. And the parents would say, "Our sons have gone to Lahore to fight." And instead of saying India, they would say, "This person is going to Lahore."
Do you remember how Gangaram looked like?
Dekhne mein Mongolian face tha unka, gol sa aur gora tha.
Gangaram had a Mongolian face and a light complexion.
I'm showing you now the photograph.
Yes.
Is this him?
Yes, he's the same one.
And we also have his voice.
Gangaram Babam said to his father, "Give me that part of your goods that belongs to me." So the father
gave wo itne padhe likhe nahi the. Aur ye lagta hai ki,
he says this voice recording sounds like a man who is learned, who is very well educated, and Gangaram was not so educated.
According to the German records, he also played musical instruments and he used to draw.
Ye painting karte the. और हारमोनी और आपका ये हारमोनी और ये मौत ऑर्गन ये बजाते थे.
Yes, Mr. Gangaram Gurung did paint and he played mouth organ.
Do you think it is the same Gangaram we are talking about?
वो सेम है.
Yes, क्योंकि मैंने तो ओल्ड देखा है पर.
Yes, he is convinced that this is his father's friend, Gangaram Gurung, because he recognizes the facial features in his photograph.
for you, the only thing is that you are a little bit surprised by the voice and the clarity of his English.
No, such a thing.
He says he doesn't doubt the recording because he was very small when he saw Gangaram Gurung. And at that time, he did not understand things very much.
It is our man.
He's the same person.
Do you remember any other friends of your father? You talked about Lachman. Another person called Lakshman.
Lakshman was living in our house.
He says Lakshman used to live as a tenant in his family home.
Now, this is interesting because early on, we met a man who was convinced that Lakshman Thapa, one of our other voices, was his father who died when he was 3. Could they be talking about the same man? It doesn't sound like it.
Wo unki height thodi choti thi aur munh chauda tha.
He says Lakshman was slightly short and he had a broad face.
Or he had no issue.
And he had no children. He was childless.
Humne unki seva ki hai hum jab chote the.
When he was a child, he would help Lakshman with running errands. So sometimes he would go to the bazaar and buy vegetables or milk for him. He also remembers that Lakshman and his wife fought a lot and they would often hit each other. Once, in a fit of rage, Lakshman took off his ring and threw it somewhere far away, and all the children had to go and look for it and they could not find it anywhere.
We witness Mr. Sharma struggle with his emotions, the ghostly voice of Lakshman Thapa taking him back all those years to his childhood.
He used to sing. I can also sing him. Sometime. When apne jab apni aurat se ladta tha na to wo kone mein jaake gaata tha. Isi tarah ka gaana.
He says when Lakshman used to fight with his wife, sometimes he would go in a corner and sing by himself and he would sing a very similar song.
Par us tone mein nahi, kyunki wo boodha ho gaya tha na, boodha tha. तो उस टोन में नहीं गा सकता था पर वो ऐसे गाता था इसी तरह का.
He would not sing in the same tone, but he would sing similarly because he was old.
You got very emotional.
Because मैं अपने पिताजी के दोस्तों की आवाज सुन रहा हूँ तो मुझे ऐसा लगता है मेरे फादर बोल रहे हैं.
He says that he is hearing the voice of his father's friend and he feels as though his father is talking or singing.
Our translator Vandana, my producer Mark Savage. We are not sure of what to make of it all. We have Gangaram Gurung's identity apparently confirmed. But the man we thought was Lakshman Thapa now appears to be someone else. The emotions are real, even if the identities are mistaken. We are actually inviting ghosts from the past into the households of these people.
Yeah, I think it was quite remarkable that he recognized the picture and he spoke about Gangaram so much. However, the entire thing about Lakshman and him being childless and then us going in the morning to meet his youngest child and how emotional both the parties got about the entire thing, that really...
But you'd expect that, wouldn't you? You'd expect them to be emotional. It doesn't make it true.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I think recognizing voices can be a bit confusing.
Yes, especially at an old age.
And if there was another Lakshman from this village and sang similar songs.
Yeah, but I also must say that the tradition of singing and dancing is very much present in the Gorkha community. And in every family, people sing.
These are ghosts, aren't they? Yeah. They're ghosts in more ways than one, because We're still trying to make them real, aren't we?
Definitely, we're trying to make them as real as possible. And the people who are talking to us, who are giving us information, also want to accept them as real. And I think it creates this... It's rather sad in many, many ways.
The form filled in by German academics nearly 100 years ago states that Lakshman spent his youth a long way away, but we are still holding on to the idea that his place of birth is the local name for a village near Dharamshala called Kajlot. Surrounded by mountains, even today it can only be reached on foot. We've come to see Pandit Madan Prasad, a 90-year-old Gurkha who served in the army for 28 years.
We can go inside.
He's an old friend of Baba Singh Bora, the man who, as you heard earlier, was convinced we had a recording of his father's voice.
He says that he used to play with Lachiman's son, and Lachiman used to adore him in equal measure as his own son.
Once again, we produce the recording.
Right. True. Is it trueness?
I think, you know, he's suddenly alive now after listening to the recording. He's a different man.
He says, yes, when he was small, he used to play with Lachiman's son, and he would go to his house, and yes, this is definitely Lachiman's voice.
You sat up when you heard the voice. Why?
He, of course, had heard Lachiman's songs, and this brought back memories of his childhood, and this is why he lit up.
Even our father's father's.
It's becoming clear that the people we meet have few, if any, written records of their ancestors, or even photos. But even if we can't be sure we have the direct descendants of our soldiers, these scratchy recordings are providing a powerful emotional link with the past. It's time to say goodbye to our translator Vandana and the snow-capped mountains of the Himalayas. We are heading west for the only state in India which has a majority Sikh population. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. We are leaving Dharamshala on our way to Punjab, all the way down. Sikhs were recruited in large numbers by the British during the Great War. There are three names that we are interested in, including Santa Singh, a prisoner of war who came from a village just outside Amritsar. Our new translator JP has found the name of a distant relative who still lives there, but no one seems to know where he is. Not the workers in the paddy fields, nor the boss at a paper factory, or a devotee at a Sufi shrine. So where exactly is Jagdas Singh?
We are trying to locate the guys because his phone is switched off. This is the place he told us that they are working.
It's a hot day for a search, 47 degrees centigrade.
We have got a new clue.
There is no Jagtar Singh there, but there is a guy from the same village. He didn't know what his name was.
ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਪਿੰਡ ਦੇ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਕੋਈ ਕਰਤਾਰ ਸਿੰਘ ਜਾਂ ਜਗਤਾਰ ਸਿੰਘ ਹੈ ਨੇ? ਨਹੀਂ, ਜਿਹੜਾ ਮਿਸਤਰੀ ਰਾਜ ਮਿਸਤਰੀ ਦਾ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੋਣ ਕੋਈ.
His brother has gone recently, but they are inquiring about his phone number.
We have no choice but to head to the village and wait. There, we get talking to a group of elderly Sikhs who say they knew someone called Santa Singh, but they don't seem to know much about his history.
He was very young. He says when Santa Singh got retired and came back to village, that's when he came to know about it, that there is an army man who has come back from war. He worked in their fields in his last days when he came back to village.
Now we have a tape. His voice was recorded when he was captured by the German army in 1916. See if you can remember his voice. The old gentleman is listening. Everybody's gone silent, and there is a small crowd gathered around. Little children, middle-aged people, old people.
No.
He says it doesn't sound like him. He said it didn't seem like he could sing a song like this.
So was he not a very articulate person?
That's what he means.
One interesting thing about the song is that it is in Hindi, while Punjabi is the language spoken here. Our translator JP senses there is more going on than meets the eye. And it's got to do with the Indian caste system. The Santa Singh these men knew was a Dalit, the caste traditionally regarded as untouchable. Discrimination against them remains to this day.
One thing is for sure, that this Santa Singh was a village Dalit guy. So it's a typical stereotype that he didn't know anything. He was not that articulate according to them. According to them, they think they would not know Hindi or any other language or even rich Punjabi textual knowledge. So when he heard the voice that you played for them, they were in unison said, that can't be him, because that's not the Santa Singh they know.
The Dalit people live in the poorer part of the village, back up the road. Everybody's coming out of their house. We have the whole village following us now. At last, we get to speak to the elusive relative, Jagdas Singh.
When he was young, Santa Singh used to ply a cycle rickshaw. He must be 70 years old then, he says.
A sorry story begins to emerge. The higher caste people in the other part of the village described a man who seems to have lost his mind, shuffling around in old army boots. Towards the end, he didn't have anywhere to live. So Jagdas Singh and his mother took him in.
He stayed for a few days in a shop nearby. Then he shifted for a few days to a temple, then to a village community center kind of thing. He didn't stop reciting verses wherever he went.
If we have any doubts about whether we've got the right man this time, we are told there is someone in the village from the bank where Santa Singh used to collect his army pension. We are not expecting a man in a suit, but it's still surprising to see the bank official turn up on a scooter. We just had the bank official coming in. He's coming in the scooter in shorts. It looks as though he's been doing some building work. The crowd gathers around. Do you remember him?
After every 3-4 months, he used to get 300 odd rupees from some ex-serviceman welfare association. He is not very sure about the proper name of the association.
We are going to play a recording of Santa Singh made in 1916.
The bank official says he's not sure about the verse, but it was very long ago. This guy, also from the village, he says when Santa Singh was drunk, he used to sing, and this sounds like him.
The recordings are putting us in touch with people and taking us to places we would never have imagined.
Our journey takes us to another person, another village.
We are heading for Malanpur, 2.5 hours southeast of Amritsar, near Ludhiana.
Are we getting off here?
We are trying to trace the relatives of another Sikh soldier by the name of Chandan Singh. It turns out that his children immigrated to the United States. But we've come to an engineering workshop to meet Pavita Singh, a friend of the family. It's mid-morning in India, but getting on towards midnight in America. Pavita puts in a transatlantic call.
He's just trying to explain that guys from BBC have come to talk to him.
I'm soon talking to the youngest grandson in Utah.
Did he talk much about being a prisoner in Germany? You know that he was in prison, but you don't know for how long.
It emerges that Chandan Singh lived most of his life in Punjab before joining his family in America 36 years ago.
He was about 100 years old when he died. So he had a good, healthy life. Okay, thank you very much for talking to us.
Chandan Singh's recording is a curious one. It's a Punjabi folktale, not exactly politically correct, about a hunchback and a blind man. The two men break into the house of the village headman and steal his possessions. They set up home together, but the wife of the hunchback tries to poison the blind man by feeding him a cooked snake. Instead of killing the blind man as intended, it restores his sight. The blind man lashes out in anger at the hunchback, and miraculously his blows cure the hunchback too. Family friend Pavita Singh knows it well.
There were no television radios at that time. So old people used to tell stories to children. This was story like that. This is a usual folk tale here.
It
just has entertainment value, he says. It's good to listen to.
Do you say it to your children or just sitting around talking about it?
Times have changed.
Children don't sit with their parents.
A smartphone aa gaya. Bacche ja game khelde ne, internet search karde ne,
internet
te bade vi ne, oh vi matlab aa buddho baksa.
Even old people are busy in watching television.
We are nearing the end of our journey. The sun is now at its hottest, and we've come to the dry and dusty village of Galab. Former Army Captain Sardeep Singh, a veteran of three wars himself, directs us to an outbuilding which is being used as a store. Several bags of cement are inside, but they're not what we've come to see.
We come into this small shed behind the house, and in the corner there are three boxes on top of each other.
At the bottom is his great uncle's old British Army trunk, which, like the German recordings, has survived for close on 100 years.
It's a wooden box, 1 meter tall, 1 meter wide, and it's got big locks on side, and there's something written on it. Number 1588, Sundar Singh, number 2.
Number 2 company. Mother company.
So this box had been in the family, passed down generations.
A wooden box built in later times would have been destroyed by now, he says. This is made of sturdier stuff. That's only because it's old.
Of all those who were recorded by the Germans, Sundar Singh seems to have been one of the most prolific. He contributed several religious songs and this children's story about a monkey and a parrot. The trunk stenciled with the name of Captain Singh's great uncle Sundar Singh is still in use and filled with lentils. It's the only time we've found something tangible connected to one of the men behind our ghostly voices. It's so calm. You can only hear the birds. Back in Germany, the stones in the Commonwealth Cemetery bear witness to the South Asian soldiers who died in the camps at Sossen and Wunstorf a century ago. These tombstones look like a battalion of soldiers standing on attention in four different rows. There's a Sikh soldier called Ishar Singh, Chabilal Thapa, Nandu Gurung, Jaswardur Raj, Gangaram Gurung, Lachman Thapa, Sundar Singh. They will all by now have joined their comrades. The recordings are their stones, their memorial. Right at the top end of the cemetery, there is this huge tombstone which is like a huge coffin. In it, it's written in English as well as in Hindi. God is one, his is the victory, in memory of the brave Hindu Sikhs and Mohammedans who sacrificed their lives in the great war for their king and country. I'm not sure if they really knew which king they were fighting for, which country they were fighting for. They came to Europe to fight a war which they didn't really understand. The British soldiers in the camps may have felt a long way from home, but for the Gurkhas, the Sikhs and the Sepoys from South Asia, it must have seemed a million miles away. The Ghostly Voices of World War I was presented by me, Priyat Lienege, and produced by Mark Savage.